El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hi everybody, welcome to Unpopular Opinion, the podcast about opinions that are not popular. This is Adam Todd Brown's podcast, and you may be wondering who I am. I'm Andy Sell from the Ghoul School, a horror history podcast, Pod the Life, heart-shaped pod, $3 pod, y'all, and the upcoming podcast, Supernova. I'm over here because we watched the Bears today. Joining Adam in the studio today is Katie Merriam, who runs the comedy show Two Drink Minimum. I believe it's a weekly show. I could be wrong. I should really go to one. I haven't yet, mostly because I get weird about drinks and intimate scenarios with other people, and it's kind of a thing, but I should definitely go because Katie's very funny and very great and has great lineups. Also joining Adam in the studio today is Joe Dosh. He used to be a roommate of mine. Believe it or not, I lived in the same apartment as him in Glendale. Here's the thing about Joe. Joe is a ruthless Settlers of Catan player. Do not play that game with Joe, but do go to the Comedy Store every Monday night to see him perform because he is a villainous comedian.
Also, Jeff is here. Jeff's co-hosting. It's going to be a great show. Andy's not here, weirdly enough.
I'm not there.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to...
Shut up!
I beat you to it, fuckface.
You motherfucking piece of shit.
I fuck mothers, and I'm a piece of shit.
Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm Adam Todd Brown. Who are you?
I'm Jeff May, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Unpopular Opinion of the Drive Time Hour.
Enjoy your drive to work, everybody.
Oh, man. Wolfman Jack. We got Katie Merriam on here with traffic.
Hi. It's full. Traffic. It's full.
Traffic is full.
It's full.
Fantastic.
Can we get some weather from Joe Dosh, please?
Oh, well, there's some sky out there. It'll rain and be sunshiny invariably. I no longer have the capacity to feel. My life is a soulless void. I can't come in.
Joe, on the weather, ladies and gentlemen, things are going great in the Unpopular Opinion offices.
Truth and lies are indistinguishable to me. My life is a hellscape of its own meaning. Back to you, Fartmaster.
Hell yeah. Womp, womp. Six farts past the hour. We got some messages coming in from Casper Mattress.
Dude, okay, like, it's very easy to shit on morning zoos, but how much fun was that just now? Like, imagine if it were the 80s and just cocaine was just flowing.
It's cocaine. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Morning cocaine.
It's Looney Tunes Tuesday. We got a fun, wacky song coming up in a couple hours. Yeah. Make sure you tune in for that.
Hey, everybody, I fucked the mayor. Find out if it's true after the break. What a time.
We've got tickets to see Molly Hatchet coming out later. They're coming in town.
You could do a lot worse than the hatch.
We're going to give you free tickets to the demolition derby if you sexually harass your boss.
Next, we're going to prank call a funeral home.
I love that shit.
Nice dead grandma, sometimes, faggots.
I still sometimes, if I drive my girlfriend to work, I will listen to Big Boy's morning radio show.
Oh, yeah.
And he does, it's always in that span of time where he prank calls someone. And
they're all fake.
Yeah. They're all.
In comedy, everyone's like, yeah, my friend does all of those calls.
Yeah, we know who's calling it.
Yeah, remember when we did that show in Albuquerque, we had to stop so Maria Shahada could do one from the side of the highway.
A mad wife.
Yeah, an old Jewish wife, I believe.
I had a friend do that when we were driving to a gig one time, too. That's
it's $50 pullover.
Yeah, man, why not?
I'd be like, give me $20 and I'll do it.
Yeah. Yep.
God, how do prank calls even work anymore?
Let's try some.
Yeah.
I can sync a phone to this fucking mixer. It's the goddamn future.
Call up a random fan and just make fart sounds and hang up.
I have a bunch of phone numbers because people leave us voicemails that I'll start playing on the show again someday soon.
And then we just start making fart sounds and wacky circus
fart
horns.
Fart noises, racial slurs, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's popular. It's all the rage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's what people are into these days.
Farts are kind of racial slurs of the body when you think about it.
I do think about it quite a bit. Yeah. Hey, before we get into opinions, I have to give a shout out to our $50 subscribers, Kaisel Borski, Ann Bankson, and Rebecca Stewart. You could be just like them if you give me $50 a month. I don't know if it's worth it.
Give it up. Popular opinion. They're great.
They sure are. I don't get it, though.
Popular.
So as we do every week, we're talking about unpopular opinions. Joe, I know you kind of amended this one.
Well, I just attached it to a meta, I guess I would say.
What's your? Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, you scroll down to like my opinion is Nicolas Cage is a great actor. He does not deserve the shit he gets. I understand why he gets the shit he gets, but I find it is like utterly unfounded and misguided. And I guess the big meta thing I'm trying to say by saying Nick Cage is a great actor is intelligence is incredibly overrated.
I think there is something to be said about when you look at the peak of his career, the transcendence of receiving an Oscar versus the move to batshit decisions for various reasons.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, like, he's bad with money. So he, like, literally buys castles and he has
dragon eggs,
which makes him take a lot of bullshit.
He bought, like, a stolen Tyrannosaurus skull.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had to give it back.
But, like, okay. You guys have seen The Vampire's Kiss, right?
No.
That's the one where he's like running down the streets like, I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! Like, that makes me laugh so fucking hard. So many and that script is terrible.
Yeah.
He made that a movie that makes me laugh my balls off, and I'd rather watch that than, let's say, 75% of films. Now, can you imagine an actor who could do that? Name another actor who could make The Vampire's Kiss a good movie.
The Rock.
Barack Obama.
No, The Rock.
The Rock. Just
Dwayne Johnson.
Either one. Either one.
I'm a vampire.
I'm a vampire.
I'm a vampire, and I'm a vampire.
That movie watches you.
Yeah. I'm a vampire. Some may say, Barack. Mm-hmm. Are you a vampire? To that, I say yes.
Yeah. Or
I'm a vampire.
What part of the South was he born in?
That was that Southern? Did that sound Southern?
A little bit.
Well,
I still found it. Spot on. Or like The Wicker Man. I love watching The Wicker Man.
Yeah,
Is The Wicker Man good in the sense that I'm having a hoot watching it? Yeah,
he has a blast making Bad Lieutenant. You can tell.
Nicolas Cage is never not entertaining to watch. Nicolas Cage, like, I'm not saying everything he does is brilliant, but he is never boring.
Right.
Never once has he bored me in a movie.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, what are we really going for? Like, I am going to be entertained.
You know what
I
watched the other day? That's not really in this? Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this
Face
right
Off
now.
Is great.
Travolta and Cage, like, hamming it up as each other. Mm-hmm. Like, the insanity of... There's a prison break of the movie that takes roughly 6 minutes. That is its own movie. Like, like there's a scene where Nicolas Cage escapes from the hardest to escape from... prison, like, just escapes, and like it's a 6 minute process for the entire movie, which is I want to take his face off.
Look, we're all performers here. I'm telling you right now, like, I am too vain and egotistical to make Face Off a fun movie to watch. Nicolas Cage is not at all. He will dump into whatever he is. And it's not like he's just a dummy and that's all he's capable of. Like, Adaptation is brilliant. Raising Arizona is brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah. Not Fear and Loathing. Leaving Las Vegas is a brilliant movie. Like, he's quite...
That's what we won an Oscar for.
Yeah. And it just leads me to my whole point. Like, is every role he does smart, or like, does it feed you intellectual? No. But like, as I grow older, I think intelligence is incredibly overrated. I think it's a secondary... I think it's a secondary skill. I think it is useful as, like, a hammer is useful. It is great in what you could do with it. You can build a hospital with a hammer. You can also kill someone with it. I feel...
Yeah, I can.
And I feel like just...
Nick Cage is the hammer.
Art in general has become, like, very detached and lifeless, where it's like, oh, this says what I wanted to say, and I appreciate it. But there's, like, no emotional, like... connection to it at all. And I feel like a lot of that is like a lot of art has become like, look at this thing I figured out, rather than here's the channeling of some kind of spirit or emotional experience.
The fun, I feel like, has been removed from a lot of, like, when you look at somebody who's like people that are nominated for awards, none of the roles are, they're not fun.
No. No,
it's like,
not,
oh, they dove deep. And it's like, well, Nick Cage did for Con Air. It's a different kind of way to dive deep.
I just watched Con Air. That's another one. That script is ridiculous. But like, average person playing the Nicolas Cage part in Con Air would make it really like boring. And he would be kind of the straight movie.
Switch him and John Cusack in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're right. There are certain movies I think literally only Nicolas Cage could do. I think Mandy is a good example.
Why can't you put the bunny back in the box? Like, I remember seeing that movie like in 1996 where it came out, and I still remember, why can't you put the bunny,
put the
back,
bunny
in the box?
In the
have
box.
You seen Mandy?
I have not.
I haven't yet either. I need to.
Mandy is so... That is quintessential Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. There's like one of the bad guys tears his favorite t-shirt, and it's during a fight scene, and Nicolas Cage just starts going, "You tore my shirt!" And it's so much fucking fun. He says it about 175 times. Like it's that. Great.
Katie, do you have a favorite Nicolas Cage moment or film?
We've mentioned so many already. I'm just remembering how much he's actually played a role in my life. And you're reminding me of that. So thank you. Yeah,
he's like a foster parent to us all. Really.
He really is. I mean, you know.
Raised and our foster mom, Mariah Carey.
I accept it.
Yeah.
I feel
it. Why aren't they together? They should be together.
Nicolas Cage and Mariah Carey? Yeah. Fuck yes.
Oh, man.
I want them to remake Glitter.
Carriage.
That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm.
That would be perfect.
That would be...
He could play the Terrence Howard role in Glitter. Everyone's familiar, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah. Mm, yeah.
Glitter is one of my favorite movie plots ever because Terrence Howard plays the villain role, mm-hmm. and his crime in that movie is he was Mariah Carey's manager, and her boyfriend at one point approaches him and is like, let her out of her contract. And he's like, all right, give me $200,000. And he's like, cool, I will. And then the guy never gives him his money, and they portray Terrence Howard as the bad guy for coming and asking for his money, basically.
Yeah, there's got to be a scene in like on the cutting room floor where Terrence Howard's just like, you can't just, this is a business, man. Like, I can't just, like, let somebody go and just, like, give up what I do. I've worked very hard for this. I do a lot in this situation. You want me to just let this money go? I'm asking. And they, I think is a fair amount.
They cut that so she could cover a cameo song. I fucking love Mariah Carey, though. It's fine.
I think what we've established is he's not a bad actor. He's just bad at making... No, I'll take that back. I was going to say making choices about which movies to do, but some movies are just written for him.
Yeah.
He has no choice.
There's an interview recently with him, like within the past month and a half, and it's literally like all about the decisions he's made and why he is. I think it was in the Times or in something or the New Yorker, maybe.
Was it tax reasons?
A lot of it was because he's made a lot of bad investments. He paid a lot of money for a lot of things that really fell apart. He owns a crypt.
Yeah.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, he bought shit he doesn't need.
He bought, like, the 90s baseball cards of dinosaur bones, basically. Yeah. Like, all this shit is worthless now.
Yeah.
Also, as an aside, he has a son named Kal-El who's in a black metal band. That sucks.
And they wrote a shitty comic book. He wrote a shitty comic book for Virgin when Virgin was making comics.
Of course he did.
They wrote a terrible Louisiana voodoo-themed comic.
Oh, God. But it's like, okay... If you're an actor, if you're a professional actor, should you take the lead in The Wicker Man? I mean, conventional belief says no, but is the world richer because The Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage exists? I say hell yes it is.
Yeah. It gave us something to compare Midsommar to.
Yeah. Nothing else. I'd so much rather watch The Wicker Man than Midsommar.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, okay. But like Nicolas, and I mean this as complimentary as possible, Nicolas Cage is not afraid to be a clown. He is not afraid to take away, like, I'm going to be... In the same way, like, John Cleese is like this. John Cleese is an incredibly intelligent comedian. He's given some of the greatest comedy. He's a brilliant man. But he's also not afraid to, like, go on a talk show and just get into a food fight with the host because it's silly and, like, dump water on himself.
Yeah.
Even though he's, like...
Part of the joke.
An erudite, dignified man. Nicolas Cage is, like, the actor version of that. And I feel like we don't respect that because he's an actor and actors have to be, you know, very, very serious, austere kind of people.
Go ahead.
He's given us a lot of great memes because of his...
Hell yeah, he has.
Great, yeah. Not only movies, we have memes.
Yeah, just bees. Just the word. If you yell bees, you know exactly what that means.
Like, someone that Nicolas Cage reminds me of who does a lot of the same shit but doesn't get any scorn for it is Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Christopher Walken will be in any movie.
Yeah.
And the difference between him and Nicolas Cage, he's going to be Christopher Walken in that movie. You're just getting Christopher Walken. He's going to be
It's like a
also,
Vince Vaughn situation.
Yeah.
No one's going out of their wheelhouse.
How many good...
I mistook that.
And he also maybe helped throw Natalie Wood off a boat.
Yeah.
He
probably helped
Nicolas Cage never did that, so...
I mean, you would help. I mean, like, if you're, like, on the boat and you're going to let someone throw someone off the boat, it'd be rude not to help.
Yeah,
like, you don't want to be a murderer
and
rude.
You see somebody lifting something heavy, you help.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to get thrown off the boat yourself.
That's how I was raised. You're carrying a couch. You pick up the couch.
It's polite.
Yeah. You grab a leg.
I'm not going to be rude. I'm on a boat. There's nowhere else to go, and he's willing to murder.
It's very not a good impression. It's very nice to ask someone out on your boat.
Yeah. I went to
a return of favor.
I went to Zach Bagans' haunted mansion in Las Vegas, which is actually fascinating. It's just a museum with all this creepy shit in it. And one of the rooms is a recreation of the interior of the boat that Natalie Wood was on. It is, and they have the candlestick that they think.
Oh, the clue.
Yeah.
Was with it really candles. A candlestick? Are you kidding
It
me?
Was the husband on the boat Chris, with the candlestick.
No, it was, Chris, I think Chris it was a wine bottle, they think it was.
Chris Rockin' with the wine bottle in Hermosa Beach.
Did they keep the wine bottle? They threw the body off and kept the wine bottle.
I think it probably is a replica of the wine bottle, because that's evidence. If she drowned, maybe not.
You got to get rid of the bottle.
Yeah, they would leave the bottle, you know? I'm not going to waste a good 1948 Chablis. Yeah. I don't know what wines are, but it could come in a bottle, right?
You kill it with a cheap wine. Come on.
Hit it with a box.
$2 chuck. Hit it with a jug of Carlo.
Boone's Farm murders.
That's a great point. How many in air quotes, Christopher Walken movies are there really? Four, maybe?
Suicide.
How many really good Christopher Walken movies are there where he's the lead?
Oh yeah,
right.
Like he's not
Suicide Kings.
Okay, I don't think movie. I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
I would Deer Hunter.
He's not in Deer Hunter all that much.
I mean,
there's Deer Hunter's a long ass movie.
A director's decision with Walken is just let's minimize this.
Yeah.
This is a little overboard.
Well, Walken is in Deer Hunter as much as John Cazale is in the Godfather movies, which is he important? Yes, but he's not in it all that much.
He's like a heavy spice. You just see him used lightly.
Mm-hmm. Sprinkle.
Yeah.
Sprinkle your Walken.
I'm turmeric.
Yeah, everyone should see Mandy. It's so good.
I've heard really good things.
Yes. It's really fucking good.
He's good for one really enjoyable movie for every three movies where you're like, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a character actor. But he's... Cast as a leading man.
Yeah, he's got to fix it. He was almost Superman, for Christ's sake. How nuts would that have been?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. There's a whole documentary about it.
Yeah. I also, though, feel like he's kind of like Keanu Reeves, where he's one John Wick away from everyone being okay, Nicolas Cage is dope again.
I agree.
Because there was a long time where Keanu Reeves was kind of a joke.
Everyone was so mean to him about Constantine. Everyone was so mean about it.
And then John Wick comes out. And he could probably run for president now. Yeah,
he could. He's a darling now.
You go to the mat that hard for a dog, America loves you.
People despised Matthew McConaughey until True Detective season one. No one had any respect for him. He was even in some decent projects until he's funny in Tropic Thunder. He's
so good in Tropic Thunder. Everybody is so perfect in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
You know what I think actually turned people around on Matthew McConaughey was Magic Mike.
Yeah.
There was Oscar buzz around him for Magic Mike.
Magic Mike is a great movie.
Magic Mike is really good. It is an underrated film for sure.
I didn't watch it because I don't want to be gay.
I just love when he goes into the bank.
First of all, you do.
He goes into the bank to get a loan to start a driftwood business, and he's already got a stack of cash. It's just use that. It's a driftwood business.
Oh, the stack of cash, man.
Give me a loan. All right, give us that cash.
I'm wearing just a leather vest right now, man, but it's cool. It's bank outfit.
Isn't he a teacher now?
Matthew McConaughey?
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
I hope to Christ.
That wouldn't surprise me. Tony Danza is.
I think he
Tony Danza has been a math teacher for a long time.
I think University of Texas just picked up Professor McConaughey.
That's insane. What's he teaching? Fucking?
Fucking abs.
Yeah.
He's just teaching abs.
Yeah. How to keep a TA quiet.
Yikes.
Nicolas Cage. Support Nicolas Cage, everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Support your local Cage. No.
Who wants to go next? Katie? You
want
to go next?
Yeah.
And you can do either one of yours.
Okay.
Because I know we went back and forth.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to lose friends either way. Mm-hmm. I'll do the ones...
By the way, you said, I'm ready to lose friends. I really want Joe to go first. And I was just looking at my opinion on the screen. I was just thinking yours is going to be mine is going to be Nick Cage is a great actor. And Katie's would be do we really need the Jews?
Was it with that?
No, it's worse. It's worse. Mm. It's worse. But I do want to clarify when I say this, I am talking about her music. Mm. specifically her not, music.
Not her ethnic background or...
Not her, like, you know, she talks about how she's a feminist. She talks about...
You should say the opinion.
It, I just feel like those people's music is very loud.
Cardi B is overrated. Like,
I agree.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you.
I don't hate that opinion.
No, I think it's... Yeah.
And it's not for lack of trying. I've listened to a few of her albums.
I would like to like her, but I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I do think she's getting better. You know, they're producing her better and better. Mm-hmm. They're working on her. They're training her. She's just...
She's going to charm school.
They're doing everything. But she's just not... In a music industry where you are supposed to write your own shit and she doesn't, and she had to be trained how to rap. I just don't.
Oh, she doesn't write her own songs?
Nope.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Nope. That's no good.
Not at all.
I remember there was a big thing where she had like gone in an interview and talked about how she like drugged men and robbed them.
Yeah.
Right. And everyone was like, girl power.
I know.
Didn't and I'm like, it was I'm like what the fuck, man? Like, and they were like, do you know how many times that happens to women? I'm like, why does that make it okay?
Yes, Eileen Wuornos.
Okay, so that's why I wanted to specifically say her music, because I will
you
say.
You liked that part.
No, I didn't at all. I thought, like, shit, so she could say, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Street and still become president. Like, so I didn't like that, but she did say, I wasn't proud of it. That was an old interview and somebody brought it back up. Mm. So I'm going to let her off that one. The Met Gala wasn't a good look, you know.
Roast her, queen.
But, like, a lot of people, I thought it was
funny. What happened at the Met Gala?
She started a fight with Nicki Minaj over some gossip that Nicki was talking about her baby or something like that. So she, like, threw a shoe or something. Do you know?
She threw the baby. No.
She started a fight at the Met Gala, which is like not a really good look.
I feel like Katie is saying, you know, those people are always just getting into fights. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can't bring them anywhere, not the least of which a gala.
Certain people are just different. Well, you know
So it was just like, it just seemed like they just love her so much that they let her get away with everything, like her fan base, because they didn't mind that at all. And then people are like, sometimes you just got to lay hands on someone. And these are the same people that are like, somebody looked at me too long in a grocery store. Yeah. And it's like, do you?
Yeah, there's a lot of cognitive dissonance when we deal with our heroes and the people that we love. Because she's a rags to riches story, which is great. She's got a very pretty woman backstory to her, which...
Sure.
Good for her. Yeah. I'm very happy that she's out of a world that might not have been great for her in moving forward.
Right.
At the same time, we don't have to celebrate terrible and awful behaviors just because you like the person.
Yeah, but also, like, how many rappers, like, their whole thing is about, you know, crime? Like, like the story of OJ is all about, hey, here's how you take your drug money and, like, invest it into your
Jay-Z?
Neighborhood to, like, essentially launder your money and turn it into wealth.
Well, yeah. Jay-Z has a song called The Story of OJ.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, my bad.
Well, you're so fucking white. God damn you.
But Cardi doesn't have that in her music. She actually specifically said she didn't want that in her music. Mm. So that's fine. So she talks about, you know, a lot of typical topics of, you know, rap and hip hop.
Yeah.
But she doesn't write it herself. And she, like, that's what I think is overrated. She's like learning how to speak in rhythm, which she, you know, she has a Bronx accent, so it comes naturally.
She's learning how to talk properly.
But she's like, you know? I want to get married. Like, Steph Curry. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, what that reminds me...
A little Pygmalion situation there.
Yeah, I didn't know she doesn't write her own rhymes. And that's end of discussion for me. Because then you're like... Then you're basically like Dr. Dre, Puff Daddy.
Isn't Drake, didn't people like... Doesn't he have a lot of ghostwriters too?
No.
They're not ghostwriters. Like, she's straight up doesn't
Drake,
write.
Yeah, Drake does have ghostwriters. But like, Eazy-E didn't write... Like, you can never...
They show that in the movie.
Yeah, you can never... mention any of them as best rappers of all time because they don't write the rhymes.
Right. She just seems completely terraformed. She seems like, to me, she's like those man-made islands in Dubai. Like, okay, cool. I like a real island.
You like a real island.
I want a real island. Yeah.
One thing.
With foliage and turtles.
Something I was thinking about last night before I even saw this opinion. I was watching, there's a documentary series on Netflix called The Evolution of Hip Hop, which is great. There are three seasons of it. There's four episodes each season, and it's about the evolution of hip hop. Mm-hmm. And one thing, like, I've always kind of known this, but you see it throughout that documentary too. Like, historically, and I don't even know who I mean when I say we, but we really only let one female rapper be successful at a time. And if there's more than one, they have to fight.
It's like Lil Kim and Foxy Brown.
Lil Kim and Foxy Brown, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. Right.
Salt Rox- and Peppa.
Well, if you go back to the 80s,
hey,
it was
friends.
Like
they're friends.
Roxanne Shanté and the real Roxanne. Like it's like there's only space for one really big female rapper at a time. And I don't know why. I don't know why that happens, but
it's because it's produced. I think that that's exactly right. That's why Nicki Minaj and Cardi had to fight. And by the way, Nicki Minaj was the first one that went or whatever it is. Like she did that before Cardi did.
Uh-oh.
For the record, yeah. They were doing that on RuPaul's Drag Race. Well,
okay. Before. Well, I'll allow that.
But then
100%.
Again, like where
do you know?
Well. But well, I mean, wherever she got it from, who can say? But right. Like, oh, girl, was a catchphrase from Laganja Estranja on season 6 of RuPaul's.
There we go.
Race.
Yeah, we got the expert right here.
Fuck yeah!
But but I will say, like, there's usually only one. But I don't want it to be Cardi because she's like literally a production.
Not white. Yeah,
she's just like what?
I said not Shut white. Up. Yeah, I get you.
No, we got Megan Thee Stallion. We got you know Renee Rucci. We got some people coming up, and we
I thought you were
like,
going to say Renee Russo, no. The rapper, and I got really excited.
You know, if they, I see what they're trying to do with Cardi. You know, they produced her from the top down.
Yeah,
she's and there's other ones. There's other ones that are doing it themselves.
She's not like self-made, right. Like as they're marketing her as necessarily.
Right. And yeah. By the way, I will sing her songs if they come on in the club.
I've tried to like her music. I don't.
Yeah. It's got a beat to it. I mean, they know what they're doing, but it's just overrated.
Yeah. She reminds me of Iggy Azalea a little bit.
You know what?
Yes.
I'm an Iggy Azalea apologist.
Really?
I don't hate, like, okay. Like if you're like offended by, you know, her taking up like, you know,
affectation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Black people's affectations, that's fine. But like tell me fucking Fancy isn't a fire ass beat. I love that song.
That's great. I had to convince somebody to leave her alone at Swingers in Hollywood. Because she was like hanging out outside and they're like, oh my God. And I was like, get the fuck away from her. She's trying to eat.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare go over to Iggy Azalea.
Were you trying to white knight Iggy Azalea? Be honest.
Aww. No.
I really, like, I totally think
you?
That's cool.
Was
like,
it within earshot?
Meanwhile, she's out just hoping someone recognizes her.
I totally ship Jeff May and Iggy Azalea, by the way.
Oh,
Jiggy was spotted at Swingers the other day.
But I was, but like, you ever do that when someone's famous and like one person is like, I'm going to go. And you're like, don't jump in.
Yeah.
Please don't jump in. Please.
I really choose my bothering famous people.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
selectively. Because it's LA and you see so many.
Well, Alice Cooper bothered you, right?
Alice Cooper asked me for directions to Zara. And I was like, all right, but we're taking a picture together. Yeah, Alice Cooper, Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That was in a green room, right?
I saw him backstage at a Portugal the Man show.
Same, nice.
So I got a picture with him. But like I was at Earwolf a couple weeks ago to do the Cracked podcast. And I go in and sit down to wait for Alex to come out. And I look across and fucking LeVar Burton is sitting right there. And I so badly wanted to be like, can I get a picture with you? But also like we're there doing essentially the same thing.
It did. It removes you from being a contemporary of
yeah.
ours. And it does the same thing.
Exactly.
It's, you know what it is? It's like the people that fucking bother Chappelle at the store for a photo. Every time I see that, it looks like someone's being like, look who I bothered.
Yeah.
Look who didn't want to take this photo.
You know, literally pointing at him.
Dude, yeah, like
I
have so much sympathy for Rogan for that exact thing because his whole life is just people be like, do you want to smoke weed with me?
And it's the worst people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a worse fan base in comedy than Joe Rogan's fan base.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, well, maybe Louis C.K.'s, but that's for a different.
Wait, but can I ask about Iggy, though? Was she sitting outside?
Why do you disagree with me about that?
I don't know.
We can make that our unpopular opinion.
Okay. I mean, I don't think like what Louis C.K. did is unforgivable by any means.
Well, I thought you were saying, about the Joe Rogan thing.
The Louis C.K. We've talked about it on the podcast a few times. Like from the act itself compared to other acts isn't as bad, but the abuse of power is fucking egregious.
Yeah.
If an open mic comic did that, every one of those women would have called the police immediately. But because it was Louis C.K., they knew they couldn't, and he fucking knew they couldn't. And that is gross. And when someone fucking goes to prison for touching kids, we don't let them work around kids anymore. So if we were like, Louis C.K. can't work around female comics anymore, I'd be like, that's fine.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it definitely was abuse.
So you don't agree that it was an abuse of power?
Well, I don't. I mean, yes, but it's not like he like kidnapped people and like drugged them.
Yeah, but he also. I'm not saying he should go to prison.
Okay,
we can't compare crimes to like worse crimes to like say crimes aren't crimes.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Yeah, comparing something worse. That's a tactic. It's not. You know, it's like, yeah, he didn't shoot him in the face.
But
he did jerk his dick off in front of them in a position where they couldn't say no.
There are people I know at the Comedy Store who've been to jail for assault, for like assaulting people.
Yeah, and
like,
they're still allowed to go to the Comedy Store.
Well, yeah, because they did their time, Jeff.
Yeah, that's fair.
There should be a path to redemption. I think that we've lost that a lot in society lately. Yeah. We've lost all path to redemption. Yeah. People are just quote unquote canceled for whatever. True. And like
the Comedy Store has also turned a lot of blind eye to a lot of how poorly women have been treated there as well. And to pretend that's not true is silly.
Yeah, but that also is true like 10 years ago when it was an entire different staff of people and like none of those people are around anymore. So I think carrying that stigma around is utterly unfair.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm sitting here in a skirt and makeup and like I can't tell you like how much I've like felt like, wow, everyone here has my fucking back 100%. The staff at the Comedy Store is fucking lovely. What things were like in, you know, the mid 2000s when it was run by an idiot, when the owner was like literally going through Alzheimer's and no one would admit it. That's a horse of a different color. But all those people are gone.
Yeah. There was a weird situation where I was forced to go up after Aziz Ansari after that shit went down and I did not like it and did not have a choice.
Okay.
That was a bit of an issue. I didn't like that they were just
Did you talk about it?
I did when I got up on stage because he did a whole bit of like, I don't think Roseanne should lose her show. I think it sets a bad precedent. Mm-hmm. And I went up and I was like, does anybody else find it weird that he said that? Like, what else are we going to find out about you, Aziz? And everyone was like silent. And I was just like,
you know what?
Oh, I'm not famous enough to make that joke, am I?
Rick Ingraham followed Aziz one time and he goes, yeah, this crowd is weird. It's like I wanted you to suck my dick and you didn't want to. And then I was weird. And it was just them fucking right to it. Fucking. Yeah. He's an animal.
Yeah, it was. It is what it is. But that being said, so Cardi B.
Assaulted some men, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, should anything happen to her? I mean, she should not, shouldn't, like...
I mean if they reported her, yeah.
I mean like, our president said he grabbed pussy and he's fine, so I don't know.
We can't compare
I actually did, like, start thinking she was the liberal Trump for a second because she was like, I did this... which was illegal, and I could do anything, and I just care about the money, and da-da-da-da.
Maybe the statute is out for those things anyway.
Yeah.
My thing with Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. and Aziz Ansari, and even people saying, well, it sucks that we can't tell these jokes anymore. Like, in the case, like, oh, we can't tell these jokes anymore, it's usually preceded or followed by that person telling those jokes. So it's like, yeah, you can, but people are allowed to react. Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik can say those jokes still.
And also, like, no one's, like, this whole, like, yeah, we can't do these things anymore. Like, yes, you can. Like, it's not really affecting your bottom line in the long run.
Right.
I don't buy that.
Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari, it's like, what are they being denied now? Like, Louis C.K., before all of this, made all of his shit on his own, or he was moving in that direction. Nothing's stopping him from doing that.
If fewer
people buy it, then
Louis did get fired from a number of things on his shows, but it's just, you know,
you can't run material at open mics. Okay. It's
hard. He shouldn't have to after this long.
He claims he lost 35, the whole net loss of the whole thing was $35 million, he said.
I wonder what the net loss of
how did he calculate?
Women whose careers got kind of fucked over awkwardly because of it.
I don't know if that's fair to say.
I think it is. I think there are a lot of uncomfortable. I mean, obviously,
I can't imagine.
It's an invisible theory. It's obviously not something you can quantify.
Well, also, I think it's like, I mean, look who we're dealing with, too. Like, comics, like, have a lot of excuses. Is that fair to say? And, like, because something happens to a comic, it doesn't make them not a comic.
Yeah, but, like, in an industry where, you know, women aren't considered funny for a long time and we're coming up and, like, then we're in a room with somebody that we consider an idol and he whips out his dick and what do we say? Are we going to be funny? Are we going to tear us down?
Was he an idol in 2004, though? Like, I get that he had a modicum of success, but, like, he was, like, pretty far from
He had a show on HBO.
If you're trying to be one of the guys...
A lot of people.
Not in 2004.
Yeah, people had TV shows. There was TV in 2004.
Yeah, but HBO wasn't what HBO is now. HBO was Sopranos.
Yeah, they were just the network that had the Sopranos.
Yeah, but like it wasn't like it is now, where there's this revolving. Like
Sopranos is huge, man.
I know, I get that, and I'm saying Louis had a fucking show on HBO.
He was Louis C.K. because he got him to his hotel room by being Louis C.K.
Okay, the parallel I always think up here is like. When Rogan got into that thing with Carlos Mencia, Carlos Mencia was openly stealing other people's things. Freddie Soto killed himself because Carlos Mencia was taking a lot of his work and just blatantly ripping off his act. Freddie Soto didn't have it in him to confront him. He ended up dying by his own hand. He didn't kill himself. I take that back. He died, but like people claim he'd like...
He was killed
the stress. The stress Carlos of the whole Mencia. Thing exacerbated. It's not fair to say he killed himself. That's wrong. Yeah. But like...
Carlos Mencia killed him.
Yes.
Yeah. with his bare hands.
Right, right.
And he said, D to D, yeah, it is open. Anyway, Rogan ended up losing his agents. He ended up losing all of his management, and he ended up getting banned from the Comedy Store. And look, and like, imagine that.
Is
like,
he still banned?
Just no, absolutely not.
He's got like a residency.
Right, there, okay.
Well, I mean, the place is like sold out like every night.
Yeah, he's very popular.
75% because of him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean,
a lot of
like now, like granted, like there is no sexual assault in them, but if we are just talking about like damage to career, that's pretty fucking terrible. What happened to Rogan? Getting banned from the store and losing all your management and basically being blacklisted. He didn't have any management for the longest time. And like, look at him now.
Was Fear Factor canceled at that time?
I don't know the timeline on all that.
Yeah, that might, because I'm wondering.
They just made him eat 100-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The difference, I guess, is that the women that Louis C.K. did whatever weren't Joe Rogan's yet. Like Joe Rogan was Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan wasn't Joe Rogan yet. He was the Fear Factor guy who wasn't selling tickets on the road ever. And people are like, why are you talking about eating dicks? Well,
that's having a show and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's
he was still
had
news.
He
news
had
radio
career.
Wasn't not making him money on the back end too.
You yeah, know, like, but like, do you want to be the news radio guy?
No, but he's also not starving either.
No.
He's also not having a career. He just had a setback because he took a stand.
Mm.
There are people that didn't have news radio money coming in and that weren't already at least had achieved a modicum of fame to rebuild from, whose careers were threatened because they were like imposed upon.
All I'm saying is I am skeptical to the idea of like willfully going up to a hotel room with Louis C.K. when you've been at a bar talking for a while, he pulls out his dick out after saying he's going to pulling out his dick, that ruins your entire life. All I'm saying is I'm very skeptical of that. Like I've been sexually harassed at the Comedy Store by people who work there. There's someone who's like grabbed my ass and my dick and kissed me, and I've had to yell at them and get the fuck away from me. I've been called faggot by people there. I cannot imagine letting this slow me down at all.
But that's not a private room where somebody who could easily kill you has you kind of.
Is that what we're talking about, though?
You're saying you're like, I've been harassed, so what, and it hasn't ruined my career. Well, sure, Joe, but that's not you. And I understand.
Well, yeah, but you can always like take any concrete example and then add another variable to it. Be like, well, what
the variable is that a 240-pound man in a private room is a lot different than another man in a very populated area.
Okay.
It doesn't even have to be a physical threat. It's just, I saw a guy's dick that is my essentially above me and a place of power. Yeah. Who
you can't
you
say
know,
no
I
to that.
Well, I saw it. There it is. Like, his dick is out now. Mm-hmm. So like now I am in this position.
But then does that ruin your entire life?
But the implications. I mean, it's a you know the
it's
implications
just an abuse of power
of,
that shouldn't be happening.
The implications of what would happen without being said are insane. Like women get murdered all the time. You are from a very sensitive group that is attacked all the time. And if you heard four men like close a door and lock you in there and start calling you homophobic slurs, you'd feel in danger.
Yeah, but it also wouldn't I've been in situations like that and it also has not ruined my fucking life at all.
Well, that's because you're Joe. Okay. You're not these other people. And just because you handle something that's different but in a similar situation, that's not the same for vulnerable women.
Does it have to ruin their life for them to come forward and say it's inappropriate and it shouldn't happen?
No, like I don't I don't think that's
okay. So so we can talk about it even though it didn't ruin their lives.
What about a woman that said I can't work with him?
Okay.
They're not going to kick him off the tour.
No.
He took his dick out and jerked it off at me. He essentially sexually assaulted me. And they're like, all right, well, you're going to have to go.
I mean,
then.
There are people I won't work with for various reasons. It's a big world, man.
Sure. And if it prevents you from making money.
It doesn't.
doesn't.
It prevents you from make. It prevents you maybe from making money from one certain avenue. It does. I don't buy that. Like,
okay,
I don't buy that Louis C.K. has the power to ruin anyone's life by pulling out his dick. I'm sorry, it's gross.
Well, I know
you shouldn't do it. It's wrong.
Okay, then we're in agreement.
Okay. Well, we agree that then.
All right.
Okay.
Everyone, put your dicks away.
Yeah,
my dick's been out for 30 minutes.
Should we get to mine or Jeff? Do you want to go?
I'll do mine.
All right.
This is something I've said it, I think, before out loud, but
I'm gonna focus
on this. Nerds need to shut the fuck up about pretending that they're a persecuted group. They are not. They are a tidal wave of, oftentimes speaking, the ones that really claim that they are like, oh, well, people are bully me, people pick on me. They are the most toxic individuals. Like, toxicity in nerddom is a way bigger problem than the bullying that people say that they received. I think we all received some form of bullying when we were younger, whether we were, no matter what
we were correct to bully the nerds. We owe jocks an apology.
I mean, not for nothing, but like... You know, I do a joke about it, but like when nerds think that like they own Star Wars, mm-hmm. it's like, motherfucker, it's the most popular thing ever made.
It was the first blockbuster.
Like the biggest movie ever is fucking Avengers. Like, you're not in a secret club anymore. So to pretend that they're always going to grasp for some reason that they're outsiders, and they're just not, other than the fact that they suck. Like, if you are a nerd and you view yourself as an outsider, it's probably because you're fucking gross. Man. Like, you're probably saying shitty things or expecting unrealistic things out of your life and thinking that you deserve shit because you're smart.
Well, I think the people that call themselves nerds don't even necessarily have to be smart anymore. They're just like, I know some stuff about a topic. I'm a nerd.
I like a thing. I'm such a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
And I think that culture is so awful and toxic. In a situation where, like, I worked at a comic book store, and because I didn't fit the physical mold, I was like treated like shit by a lot of the customers because I look like a bully. And it's just like, that's not
the- Oh no, Jeff looked pretty, so he was bullied, you guys.
What Jeff is saying is the world is tough to pretty things.
I mean, we just had that discussion. But like, it is one of those things where you're at work and you're trying to be helpful and people literally are treating you like shit because they don't believe you because you don't fit a certain archetype. There's a huge sort of wash against women in nerddom. A massive problem.
Gamers are where, like, women. Gamers.
I mean, Gamergate was like a huge thing. Disgusting. It's about ethics and journalism. No, it's not. It's about that you don't like that women do the thing that you grew up doing because mm-hmm. it means that you're not special and unique and not why you couldn't fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that really is that. And it's the same people that think, like, oh yeah, you like Iron Man. How many Iron Man comics have you read? It doesn't fucking matter, man. How many, you like fucking Shawshank Redemption? How many Stephen King short stories have you read? Like, it doesn't, like, what the fuck, man?
None, because they're all just cocained out and insane.
But like,
and then a clown from space meets a cowboy from space and they travel through time and it's 400 pages and I'm done.
That's why I read that shit.
Yeah. It's nuts. But like, the idea, and like in comics, there was a big push because there were a lot of women editors and women writers, and that the art wasn't like big fat tits and big, and like the art was becoming more realistic and stylized, and people were getting so mad because they wanted to beat off to Rogue. Or like, I don't want to fuck Storm now. How am I going to want to, I got to jerk off to this She-Hulk. I want a big titty She-Hulk.
Don't we all?
Stop being such a nerd.
Like, that's shit that I come across on a regular basis.
Well, when you think about it, when the entire body of the Hulk gets bigger, like, why would the tits not get proportionally bigger, too?
I find
that erroneous. Biologically.
I think you should have bodybuilder tits.
The muscles get bigger.
Like muscly bodybuilder tits.
The fat goes away, the muscles get huge.
Yeah, that's what I want. Give me a She-Hulk with bodybuilder tits. Yeah.
I say give me a She-Hulk that expresses her femininity. That's what I say.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that in there. Mm-hmm. It's some bullshit. And whenever you see a nerd really start to rally against the new culture, mm-hmm. what it really is saying is that they're finally realizing that their interests aren't what made them unfuckable. Funny. And that's, that really, it's like it's not that you like comics. It's that you suck.
You're just a terrible person.
It's like, you just suck, man. It's not about Star Wars. It's about you posting online and harassing actors from Star Wars. Like, that's the thing. When people are like, The Last Jedi, people are still complaining about The Last Jedi. That movie came out 2 fucking years ago.
I liked it so much.
It's fine. It's fine. I liked it. It was fine. It was fun. Yeah,
I didn't like
and,
it.
And people were like, Disney destroyed Star Wars. It's like, did you see the prequels? Like, Lucas also did that.
Yeah.
Star Wars is a series of 2 objectively good movies and then many subjectively enjoyable movies.
Right.
Like, that's what it is. A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back are objectively good. And everything that came out after that is just like, well, if you like it, you like it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the reality of that. And then people think, they think that Star Wars is some sacred cow, some untouchable thing that only they got. Motherfucker, that movie was rerun in cinemas more than any other movie ever in the 70s. Like, every year they re-released Star Wars.
When did they re-release it with all the new digital shit?
95.
There we go.
Like, it was fucking out of control. And people still are like, this is my thing. Star Wars is this my thing.
Just me.
It's like,
how unique.
Yeah, wow. How'd you hear about it? Right. You know, fucking nerds, man. Like, it's so frustrating to be in that world and to look at people like rally against.
How bad do you want to bully him, Jeff?
I just call them out now. You just
want to shove him into a locker.
There was a thing.
Let it flow through you, jock. That's
they should have
really
lockers
are.
At Comic-Con.
There was a thing where
that's your punishment if you act up.
Just the doors just shut, and then a big thing of lock, and there's the dodgeballs just start flying.
There is a fantastic Onion article from about 10 years ago called Comic-Con Marred by 6th Annual Bully Con. And it's just like, and it's just all these stories of all these bullies picking on, and like panels by like the guy that played Biff, Johnny from the Cobra Kai.
Nice.
But there is a, recently, because a lot of people now, especially women, are rallying against the Joker movie that's coming out, saying that they don't Yes.
Okay.
And it's like all across my feed. You got to remember, my feed is very nerd based.
Not your feed. Your feed is the hive mind of the it's, life. You know, you're saying.
Yeah, I do a podcast for a toy company. Like, you know, what I see is what I see. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people that are complaining that the Joker movie is going to give sort of a sympathetic view towards negative behavior by incel type people, and that it's going to be used as a rallying cry for incels, like the new, like the second Fight Club generation kind of a thing.
Wait, I'm sorry, I'm confused.
So the
incel that becomes Joker is going to be,
it's going to influence
incels
in the real world to act like
we're
going to
feel sorry for incels.
I mean,
like, they don't want to create that character to be sympathetic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe we should feel sorry for incels. I mean, I think they could probably need more love more than anyone. They're probably lost further than anybody could be, and that's kind of how.
That I 100% agree with.
Yeah, we did an episode about that too.
We also like the idea that like angry loner like goes on a spree, like your fight, like dude, fucking Cain and Abel, like being mad at life is not like a new idea in fiction. Like Cain and Abel is the second story in the Bible, and that's all about fuck God, I'm gonna kill people who are good. Like, it's hardly a new idea.
It's
like, it's the oldest story in civilization, man. Well,
it's funny because the same people a couple weeks ago that were like, how dare you say video games cause violence. Mm-hmm. How fucking dare you? Are now saying, I don't like that this Joker movie's coming out because it will cause violence.
You know my theory
and I'm
about,
like, stop cherry picking.
Yeah.
You know my theory about video games causing violence is like, I don't think like Mortal Kombat ever caused violence because like I was good at those. I'm like, yeah, I know all the fatalities and everything, but like what does cause violence is me playing like Sonic and like trying to jump onto the one platform and go, what the fuck? Why can't I jump on the colorful thing?
I have a friend that used to break so many controllers by whipping them at the TV, and I was like, dude, somebody's gotta pay for that.
Although I feel old now because I was watching I was just on a YouTube hole and I was watching the fatality from the latest Mortal Kombat game, and I'm like, good fucking God, no child should ever play this shit.
No,
is insane.
Yeah, they're pretty intense.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna drill a hole through your skull and pull your liver out from your butt.
A woman had tweeted a screenshot of like a why she didn't like a woman in comics, an editor for a big company, and posted that, and then I had seen come across my feed that she also wrote, oh my God, this new Punisher series is so amazing. And I was like, he's a serial killer. Okay. And so I tweeted it and I was like, come on, like you can't
fucking
do both.
Batman's a serial killer.
Yeah. I was like, you can't do both. And then somebody underneath it was like, well, that's because she feels like men are that. And I was like, real quick, fuck off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
this is not what I'm saying. Like, I'm calling out hypocrisy. I'm not rallying against a woman just because she had an opinion that I don't agree
yeah.
with. No, I think it's not because she's a woman.
Yeah, you see that kind of shit a lot. The example I always bring up, and I won't name the comic, but after the Bill Cosby thing broke, this pretty famous female comic tweeted a thing. And her main gripe, or the thing she was most mad about, is that someone filmed Hannibal Buress's set. She was like, don't film other comic sets. And it's like, that is what you're mad about? And then ever since then.
Hey, man.
Like, and
you know what? She's not wrong. Haven't heard that take before.
And at the same time, she's
now that the smoke is cleared, hey, you don't film people, buddy.
Yeah, like that was her initial reaction. And then from there, like, has been so vocal about that kind of shit. It's like, all right, but your first thought was, don't film Hannibal's set.
There's a really funny bit that Lori Kilmartin will do where she consistently stands by the idea of, like, she's, like, always against the crowd. Like, the crowd is the enemy. And then, but then we'll be like, this is what I do, but also, fuck the crowd. Like, she will make that jokingly about the
yeah.
filming the sets as well. It's a good little bit.
Good little bit.
You had a thing and then I accidentally cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just going to, I don't remember.
Shit. Should we get to my...
It was probably going
to
be not complimentary towards you, Jeff. When I'm on this podcast and I don't know what to say, that's usually where I go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like, no, hey, look at Jeff, you big dumb idiot in your shorts.
Look at me, I'm
fucking
wearing
shorts. Biceps.
Yeah, because I knew it was going to be warm here. So I wore shorts.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I work here all the time, and I wore sweatpants. I'm a fucking idiot. Should we get to my, like...
Dude, you look like a business casual, the Penguin.
Good
I
enough.
Like how we're like, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to make fun of this.
Gotta,
I'm not going to get on a
I'm
list
jealous
here.
Of
you
got to take...
Oh, thank you, honey.
I mean, I've been looking over like, damn it.
I assume you were...
Joe's wearing it's a skirt and a nice top.
Thank you, yeah.
Combo.
Yeah. I got to a point.
It looks lovely. You're
Thank
so brave.
You. I got to a point where I just stopped giving a fuck, and I'm just
do
like,
it,
I'm going to wear
those are comfortable as shit, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
All right, let's
My
talk
ass
about
is sweaty.
Something fucking important. My ass is sweaty, too. At least no one's peed in their chair, though.
Correction. I took a shit in this chair.
Let's switch gears and finally talk about something important here. My opinion, I don't know if anyone in the room has tried it, but the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich is fucking overrated.
Sure, it's fine. It's a something by Popeye's.
It is the third best. If you take politics out of the equation, it's the third best chicken sandwich.
Like I know one in the top two.
Second best if you take politics into it, because Chick-fil-A, like you can eat it without... feeling like you're oppressing people, which you can't really do at Chick-fil-A, but still, their sandwich is better.
No oppression at Popeye's.
You know what my gay man's opinion on Chick-fil-A is? Like, yeah, when you buy Chick-fil-A, you're donating to people who donate to, like, conversion therapy camps, but, like, I also pay taxes to America.
Yeah.
So who am I going to bitch about?
Yeah. And my problem
Here's your new April 15th drone polish, everybody. Tell him Joe Dodge sent you.
My problem with the Popeye's chicken sandwich is it's not a spicy chicken sandwich. It is a chicken sandwich with spicy mayonnaise on it.
Oh,
and that's different.
Boo.
With Chick-fil-A, the spice is in the breading. And with Wendy's, which I argue is still the best spicy chicken sandwich.
It's like marinated into the chicken.
It's marinated into... If you cut that fucking thing open, you can see the red spices in the chicken. It's so much better.
I think there's an inverse correlation between tolerance for gay people and tastiness of your food.
Mm.
Like vegan food, garbage.
Soul food.
You know, falafel, delicious.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's why the South's food is all so great.
Hell yeah, it is.
I think you got to go to Arby's and get one of their sandwiches. I've heard it's
I fuck with
top.
Arby's.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me to go to Arby's. There's just not one close to me anymore. The one in...
I just want to hear you rank Arby's.
That should be in your tombstone.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me to go to Arby's.
Every time I do the Cracked podcast, I get there about 45 minutes early so I can hit that Arby's a block up the street.
I'm told that their meat is like a liquefied meat gel.
Fine by me, baby.
That they then like use molecular gastronomy.
Well, I have a 13-hour...
I don't
Seems
know,
like
man,
a very
it.
Difficult and expensive
Pink
process.
Slime, man.
I have a 13-hour DVD box set that is just a piece of Arby's roast beef roasting. that begs to differ with your opinion. This is a thing they put out, like they put it on YouTube too, but if for a very brief window of time, if you went on their website and gave them your address, they would send you this DVD box set.
What those sell for?
It's a That's box hilarious. Set, like and not a single DVD.
No, it's six DVDs.
Multiple.
And a fan, when I mentioned it, a fan actually found it and sent me one. So if we want to have a movie night sometime and watch Arby's roast beef cooking.
I think you should have in the background while you taste all the chicken sandwiches at once and you have everybody rank them.
That's like when they have
four chicken sandwiches.
It's like when they have the fireplace on Netflix, but it's just beef.
It sells for like $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what Arby's used to have that they don't have anymore that was a fucking delight. They had a Nashville hot fish sandwich that was so fucking good. And they only had it for like 3 months. And I bought about 1,000 of them.
Do they have fish sandwiches now?
No, they're one of those places that does fish sandwiches during...
They cycle them, right?
Well, they do them during... what's the fucking Catholic people don't eat
Lent.
Meat?
Lent. Like, yeah. Like having like the filet of
Wendy's
fish.
Does them during Lent. Yeah. Shit like that. Have a fish sandwich year-round, you cowards.
Yeah. Don't kowtow to big Catholic.
Yeah, yeah. No shit.
All right.
But yeah, has anyone had the Popeyes?
It's a disgusting kid fucker sandwich. Invented for Lent.
No, I haven't. I haven't bothered. It's fucking. It's a sandwich.
What am I in the Illuminati? I'm the only one who's had one.
But it's like, yeah. How'd you get one?
I've heard a lot. A lot of my Uber drivers have told me it's sold out and they can't get one.
Yeah, it's sold out pretty quick.
I'm not. It's a fucking chicken sandwich. If I'm at a restaurant, I never order the chicken sandwich. Like, I just don't care that much. I'm not going to drive to a place just for a chicken sandwich.
I mean, that I would do.
It's fast food though. It's a to go food.
Sure.
It sure is.
Sure. I'll take a Whopper over that any day.
I fuck with a Whopper.
We were talking about the politics of rape not 20 minutes ago.
welcome to Pops.
Yeah, welcome to this podcast. I mean,
they ran out of chicken, not just the chicken sandwich. It was so popular, they ran out of all chicken.
Yeah, they were probably just putting fucking chicken nuggets on there and being like, here's the sandwich. This is what it is. You're never going to have one again. So.
I mean, if I worked at Popeyes, I would have been out the back door going, it's $25 right here. Like,
I guarantee you. That was probably happening.
Oh, there
somewhere.
Were yeah. There was at least one article online about someone who did that, but no one bought them. Like, I'm not going to buy a chicken sandwich from a guy outside the store.
I like how the guy in Houston that pulled the gun.
I have my uniform.
Yeah,
and the guy's just like, and the manager's just like, we don't have any.
Yeah,
we're out. I can't produce. You want the mayonnaise? You want the sauce? I give you the sauce. Also, pulling a gun. In a restaurant in Houston, man, you're going to get shot six times in the back.
Mm.
Do that shit.
Tell it to the El Paso shooter. Touché. He was in a fucking Walmart. You can pull off a mass shooting in a Walmart in Texas. The good guy with a gun theory goes right the fuck out the window.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There was a shooting in Odessa. The guy shot two cops first.
Yeah.
And then didn't get taken down for a long
time.
All these
pussy-ass liberal Texans can't shoot straight,
first.
We're saying.
Well, the one that happened here... In L.A. not too long ago at the bar, was it Thousand Oaks or something like Like, the guy just shot the bouncer first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what if the bouncer has a gun? If the guy shoots him first.
It's like kicking a big guy in the knee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, that's such a dumb fucking
theory. Go higher, Jeff. Well, I got the knee.
No, I got go for the knee.
I got an unpopular opinion for you. Shootings are bad.
What?
I don't like them.
What?
I think we can all
agree. I can't believe you're on the side of the issue.
I think.
Yeah.
The beauty of America is we could all hold our own opinion.
The views expressed by Joe Dodge in this podcast.
Find them messy. They're a bummer.
Cleanup. Cleanup alone.
There's a great bit by Mo Mandel about how the new generation is sloppy. Like how the old generation, it was serial killers.
Yeah.
And they used to like, you worked for it. You got 5-6 a year max. He's like, and you bury your bodies. You bury your bodies. You bury your bodies.
Serial killers are so much better than mass shooters.
Oh, I mean, sure.
Yeah, because they're just being docile and like working diligently at security firms during the day.
They're
and like
putting the work in.
Out. Yeah. They're going through, they're jumping through hoops to try to appear to be a decent member of society. They're not like these shooters are just creeping people out.
It's like being
one day.
It's like being a superhero.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, you have your mild-mannered day job but as a reporter.
We were just talking about women being assaulted not 20 minutes ago.
This is serial killing. It's different.
By the way, can I give you a hilarious
like a
shooting
or
anecdote?
A hammer.
Okay, there's this video online from the Orlando shooting. It was someone was taking like
that is funny.
Sounds yeah. funny already.
I'm in already. Yeah, there it's video from someone's phone from inside the shooting, and it's horrific. Like I'm not glad that I watched it. However, there is it's like a security guard filming it, and there's this little queen on the ground, like while bullets are whizzing by, and he just looks up at the security guard and goes, "Are you going to shoot him?" And I'm like,
"Oh my god."
It's a
that is a great question.
Just a bitch to the end.
But also like a security yeah. guard with a gun yeah. fucking
right.
Man, this is wild, huh? World star. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Oh my god.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to a listener opinion, then get the fuck out of here. But first, a shout out to our $25 subscribers.
Yeah. What, what?
Here we go. Ooh. T. Cookson, Ryan Borey, Eddie Baron, 5X Espinoza, Chaz Chitwood, Mike Ski, Homerostasis, Gray Wolf, The Ghost of Dave Thomas, Nolan McLean, Shelley, DJ West, Katie Rimmer, Reby, Kelly Stanaway, Teresa H., whatever that means, James Hill, Carson Tuttle, Danny W., AJ Lindberg, and Jennifer Fendelander.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here is our listener opinion. No name a given. I don't think that we should teach history to kids until we can teach them without lying to them. Some stuff we teach is grossly oversimplified, and some is made up whole cloth. You can't talk about the Revolutionary War, for example, without including the crazy anti-Catholic bigotry. How about how John Hancock was the head of a vast criminal empire who staged the Boston Tea Party? Blah, blah, blah. On and on and on. Mm-hmm. When should we start teaching kids history?
Sounds like a lot of cuck talk to me.
Like, here's the deal. The way you deal with things like this is you give a broad generalization early, as accurate as possible. You give the broad generalization, and then when they get older, you start diving into the really deep stuff. Like, that's, you can do that in high school.
Yeah, man.
I would do that. I would 100% do that in high school. But you also have to remember that this, here's my history teacher background is really coming into play. States mandate that there are a certain number of talking points that have to be hit. They're called benchmarks, that there are standards. There are curriculum standards across a school. And you have to teach. If you're teaching like American history, you have to teach about like the Pilgrims and then the Revolutionary War and then up to like usually it's like up to the Civil War. And you have to cover all those things in like 10 months. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. So, yeah, you're going to have to do some broad strokes around some things.
Right.
But then you can also, if there's something really interesting, good teachers will inspire independent research. I used to do that all the time. Yeah. I got written up for doing it because I suggested that my students independently look up Theodora, the empress from the Byzantine Empire, who was a prostitute. And then they changed the laws. Yeah. They changed the laws. She was like, but the book called her an actress. And I used to air quotes actress. I was like, she was an actress. And I can't tell you anymore. If I can't tell you not to Google these things. And I can't tell you that you would find interesting things about that.
Why don't you come do a soliloquy on my balls?
Look at this whiteboard over here. But it is one of those things like, you can't say don't teach it if you can't teach all of it.
Right. I mean, like, it's messy. Like, what are we going to teach our 2-year-olds what prostitution is just so they can learn about the Byzantine Empire?
We're in enough trouble about people not learning from history in the first place and being uneducated.
Right.
To then say, no. You can't do it until you can tell them that George Washington was a rapist slave owner.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
It's usually messy.
Right, wait, are you saying he raped slave owners? Because that's the whole...
slave owner rapist.
That's a comic book right there.
Yeah, it is.
I think they should make a movie where Hannah Gatsby travels back in time to rape all the great artists who abuse women, and they use that trauma to then make their great art.
Why not?
Apparently I'm alone first. In that one. Yeah.
The trauma or the next.
Yeah.
I think this opinion was written clearly by some angry British person, if you read it.
They portray it as freedom-loving Americans fighting for democracy against the
John
evil
Hancock
British
staged
king.
The Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
It was essentially just a bunch of libertarians.
Sounds like a real sore loser from across the pond to me.
Sour grapes much? Oh, these sour grapes taste great, they
do. I can't
bite
me lemons with me teeth falling out. I'm going to get a scurvy.
But like, come on, man. Like, yeah, people will get there, but like, you can't expect to like teach fourth grade social studies and be like, just so you know, Thomas Jefferson raped a slave.
Right.
Anyway, back to the Constitution.
Yeah.
Like, you can't fucking do that, man. Like, but the kids should still know these things. And then later on, you go deeper into that.
You don't learn about this stuff in school. You learn about it when you go with your goth friends to the truck stop at 4 a.m. and you talk about how bullshit everything is. Yeah. Why don't you learn to be cool, listener opinion?
That's a great, like, Dakota anecdote.
Oh,
right
there. Man.
You know, when you'd go to the truck stop at 4 a.m.? No, I don't know.
Where are you from again?
Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's your equivalent of that?
You just hanging out in like businesses,
Walmart.
I guess. Diners. Or
Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know. A truck stop is a diner.
No, it makes sense. Well, yeah, sure. But yeah. This is, it was like an interesting and very regional, I think, reference. Maine, they
I'm
have
not
those,
sure there was. I think we're more alike than different, Jeff. That's what I would say.
Yeah, Maine. We
they call me Joe Dosh, the coming together kid.
we had an Irving in Farmington, Maine, when I was in college. That was open 24 hours. A day. Okay, I guess that's the equivalent of that.
Yeah, we had a truck stop called the Starlight, where me and the punk slash goth kids. We didn't have enough people to have difference between like punks and goths.
You were a fellowship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were a loose confederation of non Abercrombie people.
I think
hot topic.
Just to weigh in on this opinion, I think more than worrying about what the school is teaching, like I think we need to kind of get back to parents giving a shit about what their kids are being taught.
Caring more about grades, they're caring more about grades than they are information.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe at least in those early years when your kids are doing history homework, maybe help them with it. And if you come across something that's a little dicey, maybe be like, we'll talk about this more, but fucking write down the answer they want. Like, I think this is the kind of thing we could fight if parents would take a more active role in their kids' education.
This is also rallying against education from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, education has evolved since you were in it. Like, you know, like we, like the history class I taught was nothing like the history that I was taught. Mm-hmm. And like, there's a massive influx of young educators that believe these kind of things that are giving realistic things. Like, I remember we used to have to memorize dates. Dates have never been important. Like history has stopped caring about dates. There's a couple, like you should know 1215 and 1066.
Yeah.
Like those are like important because.
Ahmed Barucha has a great bit about that he does on stage. About how dates are just like the least important part of anything. Like, why does it matter what day,
like,
it happened?
Educate, like, how do I say this? Education, like when they're teaching you in colleges now about education, is to, especially in social studies, to extract the significance of an event. Mm. Why should you care about this? Why are we learning it? Why is it in the book? And then from there, you build onto that and you care about sequence of events more than you care about the actual dates. So the cause and effect of actions and what leads to that.
Right.
Like, why should you know more about, like, the Mongols? Like, instead of just being like, the Mongols came around in the 1400s.
Great barbecue.
Do you guys ever listen to Dan Carlin?
No, hardcore history.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He has this great history podcast, and he does this big, like, he has this massive episode all about the Mongols. It's like 9 hours long, but he's like such this like Pasadena dad nerd, but he'll like describe like the most horrific atrocities of the Mongols, but like in the most like, again, dad nerd voice. What'll sound like, it'll like read some proclamation from Genghis Khan. It's like, we will nail your babies to a fence post and we will burn your libraries to the ground. We will fuck your babies and then we will fuck them again. It's just, it's a tremendous fight.
We'll fuck your library.
Yeah. I was going to say, you want to impress me?
I
fuck
rape
that
your
library.
The Mongols were the mafia of history. It's so fascinating because they were just like, do whatever the fuck you want, just pay your rent.
Yeah.
And let us in and then pay your rent. We own you now.
Fucking landlords.
I mean, they fucking did it.
Mm. Also, I'm going to have inseminate your women because I'm Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, that was part of the spoils of war back then. The old Louis C. Khan over there. Shit, I had it and I stumbled
you
over
had it.
Fuck, man.
God damn it, Jeff.
Me. You just did a triple axle and broke your ankle.
Yeah.
Oh, my lace is broke. Oh, things are bad.
Kids, right? We shouldn't teach them shit.
Yeah. Because everything's bullshit, man.
I actually practice anti-education.
Yeah. Teach kids to smoke.
That was hard to hear.
Our children are what we call free range. Yeah. We don't actually admonish our
children. We need more feral kids.
Yeah.
That's what this country needs.
I know somebody that their kids are what they call free range, and I'm just like, I'm never going anywhere with you.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, that sounds horrible. I don't even know what it means. So that's our episode.
That's this was fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's great.
Thank you all for doing it. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Adam Todd Brown. It's Todd with one D. And patreon.com/unpops. Go subscribe so I can pay my bills. And I'm going to be touring next year. So be on the bolo.
Heck yeah.
Be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mint on Card is the second Friday of every month. Check us out. Beautiful Blast from the Past on Magnolia and Burbank. So make sure you check that out. You can hear me in Sideshow with Jeff May through Sideshow Collectibles, as well as Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on Gamefully Unemployed. You can find me on the internet at Hey There Jeffro on Twitter and Instagram. Don't find me on Facebook.
No.
Leave me alone. That's for my gross. Mom. I don't want you there. I want you on Twitter and Instagram. I don't want you in the on the real...
Right.
This is my life thing. Fucking read my jokes.
Yeah.
You can find me on Instagram at @joe-comedy. That's at @joedosch comedy. I am also at the Comedy Store Original Room every Monday through Wednesday night at the Comedy Store. Also, for those of you in Southern California, I will be headlining the Rec Room in Hermosa Beach, I want to say it is. It's down in one of those Southie towns where the beautiful people. On November 3rd, that's November 3rd, a Sunday, in the Rec Room in Southern California in the South Bay. So I'll be headlining that. Come out to that.
Katie.
Heck yeah. You can find me on everything at Kateability, K-A-T-ability, Kateability. I do a show called Two Drink Minimum. Next one's this coming Saturday. I don't know when this is going to be out. But just look for Two Drink Minimum. It's a really fun show. It's all over.
Cool.
All over. It's all over. Just like this podcast, it is all over.
I don't get it. Katie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Joe, say goodbye.
Bye.
Jeff, say goodbye.
You get the Louis C. Conn rookie card, everybody.
Nailed it. Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street. Bring a blood object to Bristol Street. I'm not-